Can be here. Hopefully the elders can get a wink and a nod, and they can Paul can sell his home and get us AC here in the house. I kid, Paul, you don't have to sell your home yet. But thank you so much for coming back. Tonight I want to look at just something really brief, really short. I picked really just three things. I think it's just a huge reminder, more for myself, I think for most of us, is purpose. What is our purpose in life? Basically, what I thought about this was my question was when I was posed from one of my coworkers last Monday when it was kind of warm, it was humid in the warehouse, and we're slinging boxes around and we're sweating and you feel like you're just going to fall down at the end of the day. He looks over at me and goes, "Why do we put up with this? What are we doing? What's the purpose of doing what we're doing?" And I looked at the man and I said, I have no idea, no clue. I mean, ideally at that moment, you're at a weak moment, you're sweating, you're tired, you're thirsty. You don't really care for an answer, but really there is a purpose, right? I go to work to earn a living, to support my wife, so we can get a puppy, so he can have a very spoiled life, that we can have this great home, that we can enjoy the things that God has blessed us with. And that's why I go through these things and we do these certain things. Maybe we can translate that question sometimes in our spiritual life, right? We've been hit, it's hot, it's warm in our own spiritual lives, and then we start to realize, what am I doing? What's the purpose of doing this? You know, it can be very easy to just forget the spiritual side and just translate into the world, right? That looks like an easier life. Like they seem like they have no cares or it's a carefree life, right? No, not really, because with each side of it, there comes the other coin. So we want to look and see maybe what's the purpose that we have. Maybe we need that reminder when it's hot outside. Why do I come back on a Sunday night when it's 90 degrees outside? Well, because I want to be committed and I want to be where the people are. Because God has a purpose for you that is greater than your wishes, than your wants, than your ambition, even your jobs, your career. He has something more planned for each one of us in this plan than more than just us, than just what we want. Think about what David said in Psalms 90 and verse 10. He said, "As for the days of your life, they may contain 70 years, or of due strength, 80 years, or 90 years, or 100 years. However long your life may be, their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away." We have a clock, right? We each have a clock to where our time is up. So finding that purpose and what we do with that time, and time is so precious, is the key to our purpose in this. Dr. Tony Evans said this on God's purpose for us. He says, "When you realize God's purpose for your life isn't just about you, He will use you in a very mighty way." When we realize and we can step back that our purpose, and when we entered into the plan of salvation and we baptized and we decided to be a follower and be a Christian, we realize that it's not all about just me, right? That I serve a great and powerful being, a great and powerful creator that has given us so much. We think about what Job says. When we came into this world, we had what? Nothing. I came into this world naked. And my parents, because they loved me for some reason, maybe because mom suffered, she thought, well, there's no point in throwing this away. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to put clothing on him. I'm going to feed him. I'm going to train him, go through teenager stages with him somehow. But I didn't come into this world with nothing. And when we leave this world, no matter how hard we try, and the world will try, we're going to leave with nothing. They may put a fancy clothing on you when you go into, I've been to one funeral where it was an open casket, and they had the guy all dressed up in a suit, and I mean, it was a nicer suit than I've ever owned. But when he left his physical body, that vehicle, there's nothing he can take on. He can't bring that suit. He can't bring the cars, the money, the fame, or the fortune. So when we realize this, that we have nothing but God, Because when you leave this world, you go and you meet your creator. And we're going to look at that point a little bit later. And you meet your maker and you find it out. But we have a purpose in this world. And I think that's what we kind of need to look at in these three short little things. Turn with me to John chapter 4 and in verse 24. God has created us and has given us a purpose that we were created for worship. That you may think about that. Well, what is entailing in worship? Well, we just looked at that slide that says, okay, it's not all about us. Well, worship is directly being selfish and giving all of your attention, all of your praise, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your might, all of what that is, and focusing on something else, right? So we were a being created for worship. And in John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says that God is spirit and that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. That everything that we have, we were created to worship this great being because, and I like this phrase, and I think I heard it in a sermon I was listening online, of just talking about selfishness. The guy said, God is our life. Is God your life? Or is it, you know, that song, None of Self and All of Thee? Or where are you along that line there? Because you think about that. If God is our whole life, well, are you taking out a cut? I think about the little cute story of a kid that wants to give money. And they got this bucket full of money and there's a whole bunch of dollar bills. And they start divvying it out. And they, I give one to God and two for me. And then one for God and then two for me. Is that how we do with our spiritual lives? Is it one for God, but I need to hold back that two for me? You know, because I still need to take care of myself and I still need to look out for myself because it's just me against the world. Well, we looked a couple weeks ago about Elijah and how he was the standalone prophet and he felt like he was the only one, but we figured out throughout his story that even being just by ourselves, if we have God, we have more than we could ever need. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 21. Paul, through all of his hardships, and we can look through his letters of all of what he's gone through, the difficult times and how he suffered, as Jesus was saying he was going to suffer, comes down to the end and he says, you know what, as I look at my life, as I look at what I've gone through and how my situation is now, I think I've kind of figured out what it means to be a Christian and be a follower of Christ. We're going to start in verse 19, it says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all shamed, but that with full courage now as Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Said, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to continue to suffer, and God does not want me to continue to go on to another life, to go on to be with him, then I'm going to do everything that I can, every waking moment, every waking thing I do, to be an honor and a glory to him. I'm going to worship my creator because he's given me that purpose. So when we can kind of think about that and slow our lives down a little bit and we get in these busy feds and we start thinking about that, we can realize that God is worthy of our praise because he is our master creator. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, I have it on the board. It says, worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they existed and were created. When we recognize how small we truly are, on the grand scheme of everything, how small that little thing is, but what a huge impact we can have just being that one person. So speaking of that impact, God has given us a purpose to be, he's given us a job. I liked this phrasing of, I heard this from, I was at a, I think it was at our preacher's conference we had last year. I think someone was talking about this and they used the phrase to make God famous. Now, that's more tongue-in-cheek there. You know, most people will recognize there is a God. Even atheists will understand that what a godly being is. And they will actually probably know a little bit more because they study the Bible to find its inaccuracies, but they will have recognized that there is a God. But more of what we're saying here is to make God known in our lives and who he is in our lives and what he can do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. Why is it so important for us to be the, I would say, the producers? You know, it's kind of odd to think about that, but we are producers for God. We are the advertisers or the marketers for God, right? We're the ones pumping him up and giving him all the glory and then making it sound better. We could be like a real estate agent and the one selling a home, and we're doing all this because we look at Romans chapter 10, and in verse 17, Paul says, well, faith comes from hearing, right? But hearing from the word of the Lord. How do you hear? God's not down here at this present time. Maybe he will through whatever, but he doesn't give, I have a voice. We are his voice. So how do people hear? By the producers, by the marketers, by the flyers, by the phone calls, by the examples, by every little thing that we do, because we got to remember that's our purpose. We got to bring the many to heaven. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Do you follow that statement there? Who is wise wins souls. How do you bring the many? Well, they got to hear it, right? Well, how do they hear it? By us speaking, and us speaking clearly and wisely and not being forceful. One of my favorite things, and it's kind of a damper, but I go to these Mariners games or Seahawks games, and you stand in line because you're trying to get in to Safeco Field, and at certain points, it takes a couple hours, and you got the main streets, and you got all sorts of people. It's Seattle. They're weird. They got weird people all around. And you'll see these guys on bicycles with these big microphones in their back, and they got these signs just all patterned over them. And they've taken the point of putting on Christ literally there. They've put him all over their shirts. But what they're saying, and they're just driving around, and they're just basically yelling at people. And all they're saying is, if you don't do this, they quote scripture, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. You know what? As I'm standing there hearing the people around me, or what are saying about this guy or what this person is saying, it's negative, it's disrespectful, and it's hurtful. But that's not the way to be the producer, to be that. It's to be wise, to be understanding, to be patient, to be slow with people. You know, I remember going through classes and being a teenager. I didn't just get it immediately. No one just drop a raindrop on me and I sucked it in and I just knew. There had to be patience involved. There had to be gentleness. We needed to apply the same things with people because people aren't going to get it right away, or they're not going to change. And trust me, they're not going to change right away. They're not just going to stop. You know, I'm working with the kid at work who's decided that he wants to get into a professional field, but man, he's got a mouth on him. I mean, every other word's a cuss word. And right now we're working on slowly changing his wordage and replacing words. And it's been actually kind of financially nice for me because he said, okay, every time I cuss when I'm around you, I'm going to give you a nickel, okay? You would think a nickel, not worth much now. Literally by the end of the first day, I had like $15. I mean, the guy just cusses like a storm. And so we slowly had to do it. And he'll realize as soon as he says something, it'll be like, oh no, I'm going to replace it with something, or I'm just not. And you can hear his brain thinking, and things are slowly changing. It's not going to be immediate. It's not going to just stop and they're going to start talking like someone who has never heard a cuss word before or never sweared before. It's a slow process. And the one who is wise wins souls. So we need to make God famous. And lastly, God's purpose for us is that we are to live forever. This has both a pro and a con, both a positive and negative. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. John John's going to talk about here the world and its the issues and the things that we are not to love and we're to hate the world. But he kind of gets down to the end here in verse 17. So we'll start in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Okay, we can understand that. Living in the world, we hate those things. We don't hate the world, don't hate the people, but we hate the sin that is surrounded in the world. It says, "In the world," in verse 17, "is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of the God does the will of God abides forever." It says we were created to live forever. Now you may think, okay, Travis, I'm not going to live forever. I'm actually going to die. You know, you don't live to 500 years old. You don't live to 969 years old like Methuselah did. We're all going to have, but no, God created us human beings to have a spiritual body that we're going to eventually, when we leave this earth and we pass away, or if Jesus comes back, Lord willing, we'll have this spiritual body and we'll go to the judgment. And we'll face this seat. And we'll have a decision that we can either live eternally in heaven or in hell. And we really see is the final judgment. We have a long reading. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus' word here is going to explain really what exists. We have really two places here. We have one place that we can live forever, and we are going to live here forever. It says in verse 31 of chapter 25, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, ye who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?' And the king will answer them, 'And truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, and you cursed, and enter the internal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, 'Lord, we did not see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you.' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So as you get down to our last slide, we have a decision. When you think about your purpose, when you think about when it gets a little bit difficult, or even when it's still going good and you're starting to think, well, when's the foot going to drop? When's it going to start to unravel? We ultimately have a decision. But did you notice the story? Did you notice what Jesus was saying here? The steps that were taken, the things that were done. That when someone was sick, he took care of them. When someone was hungry, they gave him food. When someone was thirsty, they gave him drink, because it was like you were doing it to God. Could you imagine? We use "what would Jesus do?" And, you know, I was told as a child and as a teenager, just imagine Jesus was there. What would you do if he was there? Or what would you do? How would you treat Jesus? Or how would you entertain him or be around with him? Could you imagine if we were to act like we do sometimes, or how I do to the homeless people or to the people that are not as well off, I put quotes, as me? If that person were my Lord and Savior Jesus and I didn't recognize him or I didn't know and I treated him like that? It's our actions, it's our purpose, it's what God would have us to do, it's what Jesus did. He gave us the example, and it's time for us to learn, because we can go either way. And that decision needs to be made now, because David said we may have 70 years or 80 years or 90 years, but are we guaranteed that? Do we know that for sure? I mean, the next time we get on an airplane, it can go down, or the next time we're in a car, or we're just, you know, I'll use one of Paul's favorite, it was we're walking by the road and we get hit by a bus. We could go. And I like to use this as what Dad asks me all the time. He said, Travis, do you know to the best of your abilities right now, would you go to heaven right now? We need to answer that question, because we can go either one way or another. And that's where we can invite the invitation, that if you're struggling with, you're in the middle, like you're on that line where, man, I think it could go either way, or I need to know how to get to the right way, and I need to figure out how to get on that train that's going to heaven and that upward plane, and figure out how to get on the straight and narrow. Or I know I'm going the other direction, and I need the prayers, and I need the help. And it's really been stressful and hard for you, but you want to do what's right, and you want to get back on. That's what this time is for. That's the invitation. It's a question to you to come forward to get help, because we're willing to help. We want to do what's right, because your soul is more important than the work that we need to do, or the questions that need to be asked, or the money that needs to be used, or whatever it may be. Because those things that we might have to do to help you, the money, the gas, the cars, whatever it may be, that's just things. And we can't take those back, and we get so focused on those things. But we want to help you, because your soul is so much more important than all of those things. So if you need any help or need to respond to this invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.